Gary asked me if I'd do Wednesday night, and I said, I've been reading through all the New Testament, and I'm not really studying anything particularly right now. And he said, why don't you do Psalm 111? So I looked at it and read it, and okay, I'll do Psalm 111. It's really great, and you'll see why. Psalm 111. Yes, sir.
This was perfect for you.
You think? I thought that myself. Praise the Lord. So, it's believed to be a Psalm of David. It does not say that it's a Psalm of David, but it's thought that it was a psalm that was sung during the time of worship in the tent and the tabernacle, and probably also when the temple was built. So it's kind of similar to what we do here. We have lots of these psalms that we sing, and a psalm is a song, and they're pretty much all praise. And you know, it's a joyful kind of thing to sing a song of praise. You can't sing it like a praise song as a praise song. You have to express yourself. It's songs are emotion. So you're bringing out the emotion of your praise when you sing psalms. Well, this particular psalm starts out, it says, praise the Lord. The words that are used there, hallelujah, and if you'll notice, the Lord is written capital L, capital O, capital R, D, which is his personal name, Yahweh. So this is a personal song to the Lord. The psalmist is excited about praising the Lord, as it's an emotional song. It says, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. Give thanks, for he is the one whom we live and breathe and even have our existence. He is the keeper of our soul. My heart are full of with full attention, not distracted from things, but no activities. But when I'm praising the Lord, I'm doing it with my whole heart. That means I'm all in. And it says, in the company of the upright and the assembly. So the upright would be the ones who are godly ones, who would be the saints. That would be all of us saints. And the assembly, which would be assembly, the tent and the tabernacle, and whenever you're assembled together as a church body. So I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart in the company of the upright in the assembly. It says, great are the works of the Lord. Well, when you start thinking about all the works of the Lord, you can start all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, when God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens, plural, and the earth. And it's a very short description. God created the heavens and the earth. So if you want to see just some of what God created, you would probably want to go back to Job. So let's turn back to Job and go to chapter 38. Job chapter 38. Job being right before Psalms there. So God is speaking to Job because Job wanted to have an audience with God and ask him some questions. So in verse 1, chapter 38, then the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now gird up your loins like a man, and I will ask you, and you instruct me. So then God's going to go on and talk about these different things of his creation in a much deeper way than God created the heavens and the earth. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who set its measurements, since you know? Or who stretched out the line on it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid it its cornerstone? So, again, he's just describing just parts of how he did these things. Or who enclosed the sea with doors? When brushed forth, it went out from the womb. In verse 9 it said, when I made a cloud its garments, and thick darkness its swaddling band, and I placed boundaries on it, and set a bolt and a door, and I said, thus far you shall come, and no farther, and here shall you your proud waves stop. That reminds me of something that back in the 2000 election cycle, there was a person that said that because of global warming, that by the year 2004, half of Florida was going to be underwater. So I'm guessing he didn't read this particular. Have you ever in your life commanded the morning and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth? Drop down to verse 16. It says, have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the gates of the deep darkness? Have you understood the expanse of the earth? Tell me if you know these things. Where is the way to the dwelling of light? And darkness, where is its place? This was all such a magnificent thing. And if you think of just the details of what had to happen, even in what he explains, you still don't know the details of how this all came about. Drop on down to verse 31. Can you bind the chains of Pleiades, or loose the cords of Orion? Can you lead forth the constellation in its season, and guide the bear with her satellites? Do you know the ordinances of heaven, or fixed their rule on the earth? The times and seasons were put together with all of the planets and the earth circle around the sun, and the earth spinning. We get 24 hours in a day. All this was just made perfect. And Pleiades is a very small constellation made up of seven stars. And Orion is a very large constellation. Not the largest, but it's very large. And it's easy, one of the easier ones to pick out in a night sky. But it says that, can you lead forth the constellation in its season and guide the bear with its satellites? The bear has some points. If you drew it out or saw it drawn out, you see some points out there. Verse 35 says, can you send forth lightning that they may go and say to you, here we are? Drop on down to chapter 39, verse 26. Is it by your understanding that the hawk soars, stretches out its wings towards the south? Is it your command that the eagle mounts up and makes its nest on high? So Job didn't have this understanding, and so he had to put his hand over his mouth and say, I cannot speak. But Ecclesiastes, you know I had to get that in there. Ecclesiastes 11:5 says, just as you do not know the path of the wind, or how the bones are formed in the womb of a pregnant woman, so you do not know the activity of God, who makes all things. Isaiah 25:1 says, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will give thanks to your name. For you have worked wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. God's work, the great works of God, have been creation, life, salvation, and he's given us his Spirit. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, In the beginning was the Word. The Word was Logos. This is all understanding. And this Logos was the Creator and was God. He was with God and created all things. So great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. Delight can also be described as pleasure. Have pleasure in studying the Word. In 2 Timothy 2:15, this was one of our Mariners verses. It says in the NAS, it says, Be diligent to show yourself approved unto God, a good workman, who need not be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. The King James Version says, Study to show yourself approved. Study because they are so great. So great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. Verse 3. Splendid and majestic is his work. The heavens and the earth display the glory. I remember the first time I was in the Bahamas, anchored at a deserted island, so there's no light. And you look up at the sky, and it is just unreal, the number of stars that are up there. And for someone who lived here for many years and sailed around, and you can look up in the sky here, and you can find Polaris, the North Star, and you can find the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper. Well, when you get out there, and there's so many stars, I couldn't find it. I had to look at a compass to be able to find where the North Star was. It's just incredible. What a magnificent creation is. 1 Peter 1:3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Splendid and majestic is his work. And his righteousness endures forever. Righteousness which is faithful and true. Splendid are the works and righteousness and truth. Verse 4 says, And he has made his wonders to be remembered. Romans 1 says, Because that which is known about God is evident. It's evident. It's just like we're talking about the creation. What's known about God is evident because God made it evident. There's no way that you cannot see what God has created. You know, there's at the time of creation, there were so many things that just happened all as a part of it. I mean, if you want to think about mathematics and physics and science and biology, everything that we study, humanly study, was all created at the same instant. And so when you think about, say, mathematics, we continue to discover different ways of figuring out really how God did this. So we're not making something new. We're just discovering something that God had already put in place at the very instant of creation. Because God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. There's no excuse. There's no one that says, I don't believe in creation. It's missing something up there because it's all out there evident. So he has made his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. I think about the compassion of God, and the first thing that came to my mind was Jonah. So God comes to Jonah and says, I got a job for you to do. I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to tell them what I have to say. So he goes the opposite direction, gets on a boat. I mean, we all know the story. And so for 3 days, he goes through the city of Nineveh, walking, saying, repent. And gets to the end of the city, and he wants to just see the whole place destroyed. So this is what he says in chapter 4, verse 2. He prayed to the Lord and he said, please, Lord, was this not what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, I ordered, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish. For I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. Everybody knows the grace of God. And it's just an amazing thing that the Lord is gracious and compassionate. If he wasn't compassionate, wasn't full of grace, this planet would have been burned up a long time ago, as Peter, 2 Peter says. Verse 5 says, he has given food to those who fear him. He is the sustainer and provider for every living creature on the planet. And he will remember his covenant forever. So this covenant is a promise. If you go back to the time of Abraham, he said he also kept his promise, his covenant with Abraham and with his people through the redemption through Christ. He has given food to those who fear him. He will remember his covenant forever. God is faithful. Verse 6, he has made known to his people the power of his works. Well, we've just been studying in first service about Joshua. And so what happened with Joshua when he went into the water? The water heaped up. And if you remember the way that Rahab the harlot described, she said, we know of your God. So it was all evident. So and there's many different things that God has done that we can say we know of his power. But the greatest of these powers is the resurrection from the dead. So Lazarus was the first one that we saw raised from the dead. And as a result, the Jews, the Pharisees, they wanted to kill Jesus. And they also wanted to get rid of Lazarus, so this walking billboard sign was gone. But the greatest is the resurrection from the dead. I mean, has anybody else resurrected anybody from the dead? I mean, this is an incredible power that only God has the ability to do. In giving them the heritage of the nation. So God brought his people out of Egypt, and they had no land. They had no inheritance. So God had to bring them to a point or a place where they would have an inheritance. Where there was no land, they have a land. Verse 7. The works of his hands are truth and justice. Psalm 89:14 says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Loving kindness and truth go before you. All his precepts are sure. His precepts are perfect. A precept is kind of like a law, but it's not a law. It's a truth that's something to follow. But a law is something, you've got to do this. A precept is like a law would be a statute in the state that says you have to do this. But a precept is something that God's laid out there for you to do. And by doing it, it's a pleasing thing to God. So the works of his hand are truth and justice. All his precepts are sure. Verse 8. They are upheld forever and ever. If you consider the planets in the solar system, we can't comprehend the vastness of all that. All we can do is what we actually see and can comprehend. We can look and see somebody put this together. Well, we know it's God. So you got the planets and the solar systems, and we as a people have this idea that we want to put spaceships up and circle the Earth and discover certain things. And of course, there's those that want to discover life on some other planet and figure out what happened to the life that used to be on this planet, and you know how that goes. But man can't put a satellite to circle the Earth that would stay there forever. It will fall back to Earth. God has placed everything in order, in perfect order, and it's still there. And so if you want to say that, let's say for 6,000 years, let's use that as a number. For 6,000 years, these planets in all these solar systems have stayed exactly where they're supposed to be and haven't crashed into anything. They're staying right where they're supposed to be. They have been around for a long time. Colossians 1:15 says, he is the image, that's Christ, is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether throne or dominion or rules or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So you could say he's got this. He's holding all things together. They are upheld forever and ever. They are performed in truth and uprightness. Only good. They're only good. And remember, this psalm is a psalm of praise to the Lord. So through all these things that he's done, he deserves our praise. In verse 9, he has sent redemption to his people. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave. I mean, what other reason would there be for redemption? God so loved that he gave, so that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but be with him forever. He has ordained his covenant forever. So he has sent redemption to his people, and he has ordained his covenant forever. There is none like him. He's the only God, and there is no other. Holy and awesome is his name. Set apart from all. That is holy, means set apart. And awesome is his name. My finite mind cannot fully comprehend even a fraction of what God is. But all I can do is see what I can see and praise him for it. Verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That comes from Proverbs. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. That's also part of Ecclesiastes. Says verse 12, it says, fear God and keep his commandments, for these apply to every man. His commandments apply to every man. In Exodus 15:2, Moses sang a song. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will extol him. You see this throughout all history, those who have known God. And it's similar to reading the Bible. When you read the Bible, you have different writers of the Bible, but you have one author. And Moses was explaining his experiences with knowing God. 1 Corinthians 29:11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in heaven and earth, yours is a dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all things. Both riches and honor come from you alone. You are the ruler of all mankind. Your hand controls power and might. And it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. Turn to Psalm 7 with me. Just a few pages over there. So when I started looking at this chapter 111, I was noticing that this praise is something that's all throughout Psalms. And it's kind of an interesting thing. If you go to Psalm 7 and verse 17, I will give thanks to the Lord according to his righteousness, and I will sing praises to the name of the Lord Most High. Sing praises to the name. So there's that. Again, these are all songs, so sing praises. It seems like when you see the Lord has done something and you want to praise him, it's something that you want to be excited about, to give him praise. Lord, you're great, magnificent. Look what you've done. I will give thanks to the Lord according to his righteousness and sing songs of sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Chapter 9, verse 2. I will be glad and exalt you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. That ends the same way that the other one did, the Lord Most High. And turn to chapter 21, verse 13. Be exalted, O Lord. In your strength, we will sing and praise your power. There's no one like the Lord. Chapter 22, verses 22 and 23. I will tell of your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Assembly being the church, being gathered together. We encourage one another when we come together. We sing praises to the Lord. We all come together for the same reason. We're here to praise the Lord and to encourage each other. The body. This is God's body right here. You who fear the Lord, praise him. And all your descendants of Jacob, glorify him. And stand in awe of him, all you descendants of Israel. These descendants is, we are the church. We are his body. So as we continue on the church, we are descendants of the next group. And looks like the group's been growing pretty good. The nursery's over there is pretty full. Yeah. Okay, in chapter 22, verses 25 and 26. From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I shall pay my vows before those who fear you. The afflicted will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. So, in many, many cases, the Psalms start out with something that's some struggle or stress or something that's going on with David. And he sees the circumstance that he's going through, but the ultimate end of what he says is praise the Lord. Like in the verse 26, it says, the afflicted will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. Chapter 30. Chapter 30, verse 9. What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your faithfulness? But no, I will praise you. Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me, O Lord. Be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have chosen my loosened my sackcloth and gird me with gladness, that my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Isn't that the way it goes? So you're dealing with, and it always seems like when you're dealing with the most stressful, whatever's going on, that the greater the stress, when the Lord brings you through it at the end, it's just greater praise. Amen. 33:1. Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. So praise looks good on you. No matter what we might look like. I think Pastor Gary said the other day, some of us look a little funny. It looks good on you. Praise looks good on you. Praise the Lord. Always praise the Lord. 33. Okay, 35:18. I will give you thanks in the great congregation. I will praise you among the mighty throng. Praise in the great congregation. So when we're gathered together, big or small, this sounds like, no matter how great it is, that's the time to give praise. If you have an opportunity to give praise, give praise. I will give you thanks in the great congregation. I will praise you among the mighty. Verse 28 says, and my tongue shall declare your righteousness and your praise all day long. So this is again, you're speaking. So it's hard to praise God if you're not saying something. I mean, you might have a smile on your face, but you're not praising God unless you say so. And my tongue shall declare your righteousness. Of course, it's your righteousness, God, not mine. And your praise all day long. You're worthy of praise. Chapter 40. Chapter 40, verses 3 and 4. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud nor to those who lapse into falsehood. But he put a new song in my mouth. So I think this new song is, it's praise of whatever it is that's going on. So you're having some situation going on in your life, and you have some anxiety about it, some struggle. You don't know how it's going to come out, but the Lord is over all things. He's sovereign over all things. He's going to get you through it if you trust in Him. He's going to get you through it. So He put a new song in your mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust. Many will see and revere Him and will trust in the Lord. He will get you through it. Chapter 48. 48:3-4. God in her places has made himself known as a stronghold. For lo, the king assembled themselves. They passed together. Am I right? 48. I'm sorry, I got the wrong one. It's 48:10. As is your name, O God, so is your praise to the end of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. everything that the Lord does is righteous and good. Even the things that we don't necessarily see as good. If we trust in the Lord and believe that He is good, no matter what the things are, back to Joshua. He kept saying, be courageous. Be courageous. Don't say, well, I'm really scared about this one. I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, the Lord's already told us what to do. Trust in Him. Okay, 51. Psalm 51. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. There's that again. If we don't open our mouth, we can't declare His praise. And sometimes, I guess we can say, well, maybe it's not my time to say anything. I've found a lot of times when something happens around me, I hear something that the Lord's done, it just comes out. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. It should just come out. Praise the Lord. Amen. 56:4. In God, whose word is praise, in God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? I think if we remember that verse, and hold on to that verse, and trust in the Lord, like it says, then we're not going to be afraid. If you're praising the Lord, I don't see how you could be afraid of anything. In God I put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? So, man can take our life, but he can't take our soul. But God's got this. Okay, 61:8. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may pay my vows day by day. I will sing praise to your name forever. Okay, I'm singing praise today. Tomorrow's things are coming a little tough. Some issue going on. Am I not going to praise the Lord today? I think when you start praising the Lord, you're going to realize He's got this. All things are good. All things work together for good for those who love God according to His purpose. 61. Okay, 63:3. Because of your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. God is. He's priority. Because of your loving kindness, it's better than life. Every now and then I come across somebody who, it's obvious that they're needing something. It seems like most of the time they're lacking somebody that loves them. And some people that aren't saved, don't know God, they're really lacking in love. They don't understand what love is. So is the loving kindness of the Lord better than life? My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands unto your name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. Again, you can't be praising the Lord and not be joyful. That's just what has to happen. Okay, Psalm 69. Psalm 69:30. Let's begin in 29. But if I am afflicted and in pain, may your salvation, O God, set me securely on high. I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. It seems that thanksgiving is a thing that comes after the praise. So when you give praise, then you realize why you should be giving thanks. They come together. One follows the other. In 69:34, let the heaven and the earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. For God will save Zion and build the city of Judah, that they may dwell there and possess it, and the descendants of his servants will inherit it, and those who love him, his name, will dwell there. Let the heavens and the earth praise him. I keep thinking about this, because since I've been no longer employed, I like to sit out on the back porch in the morning and drink my coffee. And I'll hear the birds singing. And it's just like that Easter Sunday morning, that as soon as the day broke, this bird started singing, praising the Lord. And it's like everything, when it wakes up in the morning, it's realizing it's got life, God's given it life, and it's praising the Lord. Mm. And it's built in. Nobody had to tell the bird, okay, start singing. Heaven and earth praise him. Okay, Psalm 71. Psalm 71, verses 6. 71, 6. Okay, I'm back up to 5. For you are my hope. O Lord God, you are my confidence. From my mouth. By you I have been sustained from my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually for you. I have become a marvel to many, for you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. You have sustained me from my birth. You know, if you, no matter what age you are, if you look back, different things that happened to you in your life, you can see where the Lord has done things in your life, rescued from different things in your life, and you had no idea what's going on or how he's working in your life. But you can certainly see back that he has. He's been there all the time. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. You gotta praise him. Okay, then we're going to skip over to 89. A few more pages. The heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies is comparable to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty is like the Lord? A God greatly feared in the council of the holy ones, and awesome above all those who are around him. O Lord God of hosts, who is like you? O mighty Lord. Your faithfulness also surrounds you. Your rule, the swelling of the seas, when its waves rise, you still them. You yourself crushed Rahab like one who was slain. You scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. And the heavens are yours, and the earth also is yours, and the world and all it contains, you have founded them, and the north and the south, you have created them. The Lord created the skies and the stars at night for navigation. In the northern hemisphere, there's a North Star to navigate by. In the southern hemisphere, it's called the Southern Cross. But I got to believe that he put those there just for that purpose. So the North Star is like the Earth is spinning around. I got to point north. That's north. The Earth is spinning around its axis, pointing straight to north. So if you're in anywhere and you see the North Star, it's going to stay there. The other stars are going to be turning around that star. But the North Star is going to stay right there. So you can navigate by it and always know where you're going. I got to believe God put that there for that reason. And it's a similar thing in the southern hemisphere. Psalm 100. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. This psalm starts with the shouts of joy. It's the beginning of the praise. Shouts of joy. Serve him with gladness. Why wouldn't we serve him with gladness? There's no one like him. Come before him with joyful singing. I like to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Sometimes I may not sing on key. Might be a joyful noise. I just, as long as he accepts it, I'm pleased. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. So there's no reason to get prideful. We didn't do it. We didn't do any of it. He knows all of our days. Psalm 106. I like this one. Starts off, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his loving kindness is everlasting. Who can speak of the mighty deeds of the Lord, or who can show forth all his praise? How blessed are those who keep justice, who practice righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, in your favor towards your people. Visit me with your salvation, that I may see the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. We have sinned like our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have behaved wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember your abundant kindness, but rebelled by the sea, at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, you saved them for the sake of his name, that he might make his power known. Thus he rebuked the Red Sea, and it dried up. And he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. So he saved them from the hand of the one who hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The water covered their adversaries. No, not one of them was left. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise. And they quickly forgot his works. That's a sad commentary, but it's true. They quickly forgot his works. So, it starts out with praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is from everlasting to everlasting. There is no one like him. Psalm 109. Verse 30. With my mouth I will give thanks abundantly to the Lord. And in the midst of the many I will praise him. For he stands at the right hand of the needy to save him those who judge his soul. So this psalm is Psalm 111. His praise endures forever. Hallelujah. Yahweh. Praise God. These psalms, as I said earlier, they're all about praising the Lord. And there's a bunch of them. And when I first started looking the word praise, I thought, wow. There's a tremendous amount of praise in the psalms. And in many of the other books that I've looked through, praise is in there, but there's nothing like it is here in the Psalms. Just an amazing thing. I wonder if there's anybody that might want to share something that they have to praise the Lord for that's happened to them and they just cannot hold their mouth shut. Okay.
I find myself praising the Lord more and more and more for COVID because I'm just so thankful for our church leadership and for the stand and the faithfulness that the pastors and you have taken to not close these doors. We're going to get sick. We're going to die. We're going to be in the hospital. Well, we're going to keep assembling. And I talked to so many different people, and their church is closed. People have not come back. Our congregation got people because their churches were not faithful and open. And so, yes, it's difficult to be sick. I myself was sick. But I just have to praise the Lord. Because I keep telling people, it's where the rubber meets the road. It is showing the genuineness of those who truly believe.
Yeah.
And the faithfulness that God is bringing out in those people because of a stupid sickness.
Yeah.
Virus. But it's really showing those who were not genuine and those who were. So I praise the Lord.
Yeah, well, there's two things with COVID that I think about. And back when it first came up, Kay and I, we thought, what? would we not go to church? And it's commandment. Do not forsake the assembling together. So how would you justify doing that? But one of the things about COVID has been really amazing to me is the different things that have happened that you would have never seen before. Mm-hmm. You know, where people end up getting together when, okay, you're not supposed to get together, you have to wear a mask, you have to have the social distancing, but because of something happening, they all have to be together. And different things like that that have happened, it's just wild. But you know, you see people that are staying in, and they're not communicating with people. They're not having any kind of fellowship. They're isolated. And remember, Paul said the worst part of his life was he lost his wife, and now he had to be locked up for months. And gosh, that'd be a difficult thing to deal with. Fortunately, he has the Lord. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it seems like every couple of days I hear something that happened with COVID, and they're saying, well, you can't do this, but then everybody's. Yeah. I mean,
it's okay to riot.
There you go. And the rioters aren't wearing masks. it's just, that's exactly one of the ones I was thinking about. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Just to tag on to that, I'm thankful that the Lord gives different ones the grace to deal with the ones who are struggling.
Yeah.
While we have strong convictions about where we are, there are those who are just weak, they're scared, they don't have the faith, they don't have the relationship, and they, you know, while it's easy to look and say, man, I wouldn't do that, the reality is that the Lord's given us an opportunity to approach those people and give them the hope that only He can give. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are different ones out there who struggle with family members, friends, co-workers, whatever, that are just don't know the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's the opportunity that He gives us to come alongside of those people and share with them the hope that we have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if you don't have that hope, it's only through Him that we can have the conviction that we have. Mm-hmm. And it's only through Him that we can stand as firm on our belief. I mean, how many of those people know Hebrews chapter 2, you know, that He has overcome death, and it's through that He's freed us from the slavery that we would have to death. So, mm-hmm. So without knowing and without having that been to us by the Lord, we walk with a confidence that those who don't know Him yet don't have.
Yeah.
And just the opportunity for us either to minister to those people directly or to shore up those who are called to minister to them directly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thankful and praise Him that we have some place where those people who are called to minister can come and get refreshed as often as they need to, because it's not easy to encounter that each and every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm thankful that we have a body that people can come to and just get recharged.
Yeah, there was a woman that worked for me when I was employed. That was watching the news every day, and she was just so distressed over things, and I just kept telling, stop watching the news, stop watching the news.
Yes.
Yeah.
One thing, it has opened many, many doors to share the gospel and to point to the necessity of the relationship with Christ. You know, I can't tell you how many times people have come and just been completely overwhelmed by all the shenanigans that's going on, not just COVID, but everything else that's been following along behind it. And I keep looking at them and I say, you know, this is why, as a believer, we've got to be in the Word, and we've got to be, if you don't know Christ, you need to get to know Christ.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a problem. I know my destination. Mm-hmm. I know where God is doing. I know that He's doing His work. And so I'm not fearful. But when I see the fear on their face, it opens the door to say, you know, there's a way to overcome that fear, and it's in that relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
And you would be shocked at how many times they look at you and go, that never even dawned on them, that would be a solution to their problem.
But well, that's when the personal testimony is powerful.
Yeah.
Because to say you need Jesus is, I mean, okay. But to share with somebody, you know, I understand how you feel. Yeah. I once felt that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes it's very easy to say you just need a relationship with Jesus. But when you share with somebody, this is the way I was, and now I'm not, and it's not because of me, it's not because I read some self-help book, it's but because I turned to the Lord and I recognized my own weakness and the way He and only He can provide that peace.
Yeah, well, in March a year ago when everything shut down, the people in our building stayed away from us because they said, they're still going to church. Yes.
I have to share a praise for God's word. That's an anchor for my soul, no matter what's going on. But He's given me this verse recently, and I'm just very thankful for it. It's in 2 Timothy 1:12. For I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him. And, you know, I'm thankful for His word, that whether, you know, it's great things that He's bringing into our lives, or if it's difficult things that He's bringing into our life, He's worthy of our praise.
Absolutely.
Because there's a promise for whatever situation He's brought into your life. And, you know, His word gives us that confidence and that steadfastness. It gives us the conviction, and it gives us the steadfastness to remain faithful, even when the world is telling you not to be faithful.
Right. And the world is getting more, it's getting louder with that. And
hostile,
yeah. Yeah, I couldn't believe that story that Pastor Gary said the other day about Harvard putting a person over the chaplain that's an atheist. I hadn't heard that a couple of days before then, and I couldn't. What are they thinking? Craziness.
You know, what I've learned is, it's a confirmation of what you said today, is what God has done and taught, no man can take away. Hold on to His promises. Mm-hmm. And be bold, that you have given me boldness. I cannot praise Him and thank Him enough to speak up. That is a blessing, and I thank God for that.
So when it's time to praise Him, if there's an opportunity, praise Him. It looks good on you. I read that. Yes, Doug.
So, Don, I just want to praise the Lord, as He says in Matthew, chapter 5, verse 3, blessed are the poor, meaning humble, are those needing help in spirit. Opportunity to see those that are struggling, that need more in their lives.
Yeah.
And for us to be compassionate upon them and not prideful.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's important to see. It's easy for us to feel mightier than thou, more holier than thou. Mm-hmm. And in all actuality, the Lord gives us the opportunity to humble ourselves and to be helpful to them, to be compassionate to them. I just love that.
Yeah. And it seems sometimes if we don't humble ourselves, he will.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Don.
Yes.
It says in verse 7, the works of his hands are truth and justice. All his precepts are sure, you're talking about those. And then it says in verse 8, they're upheld forever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
And we're living in a day and age where they're trying to erase truth.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to erase right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And what brings me great comfort, and I praise the Lord, that truth and justice are going to last forever and ever.
Absolutely.
And he's going to bring it about no matter what we're seeing, no matter what we're hearing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He says, you anchor in that. You take comfort in that.
Right.
I'm going to bring it. I'm going to bring it to pass.
Right.
And I praise the Lord that he has the power to do it, because like you're saying, is we're all looking at what's going on, but we don't have the power to do anything.
Right.
Other than praise the Lord.
Praise him.
That he told me he's going to make truth and right and wrong, the distinguishing of it, last forever.
Right.
And I'm going to hold on to that promise.
Because he is truth.
I'm going to praise him that he has the power to accomplish this. And I'm going to praise him for that.
Right.
Because he has the power to do it.
Because he is the way, and he is the truth, and he is the life. Yeah. Absolutely.
He's going to accomplish.
Let me close this in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness, your righteousness and truth. Lord, your grace and mercy. Lord, we just want to praise you for who you are. When we begin to just think about what you've done and what you do, and it's beyond us to comprehend, but we know we just want to praise you because you've done these things. You are good. You're always working for our benefit.
Mm-hmm.
You want good for us. And Lord, we want your blessings. We want to praise you every opportunity we get.
Mm-hmm.
We give you thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.